Last year, the BBC did a mini-series called Britain's Spending Secrets, where Anne Robinson, I'm told, set out to meet people from across a broad spectrum of wealth, and she tried to establish how they spent their money on the premise that they're typical, so how we spend our money, and what does it say about us? And it gave an insight into what is normally a very private subject. And during it, this is what Anne Robinson said, it's coming up on the screen. She said, "It's hard to think of another subject other than money that could reveal so much about who we really are. No wonder we squirm and wriggle and pretend talking about money is vulgar. In fact, it exposes far too much about our upbringing, our competitiveness, our envy, our aspirations, what lies at the heart of us. Talk money and there's nowhere to hide." So, being completely open with our finances is awkward and unusual, and we don't like doing it, and we don't do it very much. Yet at the same time, finances, because of where we live and the time that we live, it completely engulfs us. It's everywhere. You can't avoid the issue of money. Most people think about money more than anything else. And perhaps that's why the Bible talks an awful lot about money. There's over 2,300 verses in the Bible just on money. Compare that with 500 verses on prayer and 500 verses on faith. When Jesus spoke, as recorded in the Gospels, other than the kingdom of God, Jesus spoke more about money than anything else. And so today I'd like to do two things. I want to briefly tell you about the financial situation here at Sheffield Vineyard, and that's why we call this Pie Chart Sunday. And it's about being sort of, you know, open and having that conversation so that you are in the know. Okay? And the second thing is I'd like to talk about how to live a financially wise life in a money-driven world. Okay? And I would also at this point wish to say that if you're new here, we are not after your money. You can relax, okay? No one's going to hand around a basket and ask for you to give any of your cash over at all. You can be completely rested. In fact, I would like for you to take any wisdom that you might find in this talk and have it for yourself. I don't want anything from you, so just, you know, you don't have to, just relax. Let's have a look at our finances. This pie chart, sorry, this table, this money is recorded from May 2014 to April 2015, which is how we do our financial year. So that's the last complete financial year available to us. And you can see that our income was approximately £35,000 throughout the year, and our outgoings, our expenses, were about £25,000. So we are getting in more than we are spending, which is good, that's healthy, that's how it's meant to be. I should say, however, that since April 2015, our income has decreased slightly and our outgoings have increased slightly. Nevertheless, we've maintained at all times the situation where our income is higher than income is higher than our outgoings, okay? Which is good. But the gap is getting smaller. And this second pie chart, much more colourful. I spent lots of time doing this last night. I'll just sort of start at the at the top right where it says 24% and work my way around clockwise. And I just want to explain, this is our expenses. If you, all that, what was it, 25 or whatever it was, £1,000, it gets broken up into sections. So the first section, the 24% there, that's giving. And included in giving is what we do with regards to reach. Reach is our outward focused ministries. It includes gifts that we simply give to people. We as a church give 5% of our income to our sort of national organization called Vineyard Churches UK and Ireland. We, in a sense, tithe as a church to them, 5%. We also give money to projects in France that we are pioneering, really. We want to establish a multitude of vineyard churches in France, and we're investing in that. We are also going to, in the almost immediate future, we'll be starting to also give to Fusion, which is an organization that supports students and two ladies in Mozambique, who live in a rural area of Mozambique, who work for YWAM, but they come from a vineyard, and we've got to know them. They actually come from Liverpool Vineyard, but one of the parents live in Sheffield, so we've got to know them that way, and we feel it right that we support them. So that giving is going to go up. The going round, the next one, is 22%, and that's on Sundays, and that includes venue hire, the food, all this audio and visual equipment. I should say at this point that the venue hire is, I mean, it's comically small. It's £50 a week. As I've said before, I'm always the envy of other vineyard pastors when I say our venue costs £50 a week. But I always like to, whenever I can, publicly thank Birkdale School, the school that we're in now, for their generosity that they've shown week in, week out towards us. We think they're fantastic, and our finances would not be so good if it weren't for them. So big thanks again to Birkdale School. Next one along, we've got 19%, and that is relates to our financial and legal expenses. And by that I mean we don't have our in-house experts that look after our finances and legal stuff, of which there is a plethora. I mean, it's so complicated and a bit boring. But and so we, in effect, pay people who work for Wharfdale Vineyard, which is our sort of umbrella company, if you like, if we're going to talk in technical terms. We pay them 15% of our income, which is 90% here, because remember, our expenses are slightly less than our income. But we pay them, it's very good value for money. Otherwise, we would have to appoint someone to do that in-house. They're able to do it, they're absolutely professional, they do it really well. So that's where that money goes. We've then got administration at 11%. That's basically computers, printers, phones, website subscription, and paperclips. Next, we go on to the 9%, which is salaries. The only salary that anyone gets paid is me. I get paid one day a week for working here. My salary is £465 per month. I should say that I started, that wage started in December 2015. In other words, midway through. So just to let you know, if I had been paid that day wage throughout the whole period of time, you're probably looking more towards 20% rather than 9%. And the others would go down a little bit, you know, in compensation. So that just sort of gives you an idea. My hope is that in the very near future, we will appoint other people to work with me, to administrate, to help with some of our pastoral areas. And my aim is, in the long run, is for salaries to be around about 40% of our expenditure. Having spoken with others who have been doing this stuff far longer than me, their advice is above 40% and you're being a bit greedy, below 40% and you're probably not doing enough work. So, you know, anywhere between 35 to 45% is probably a good area, and we're going to aim for about 40. So, moving on, the 7% is conferences, training equipment. It's conferences, courses, books, and that sort of stuff. And then 6%, we've got life groups. That's really just food and drinks. And then last of all, we've got publicity and gathering at 3%. That's really just, it's mostly student bonfires and some flyers and that sort of stuff. So, that's our financial situation. Not very exciting, but nevertheless, there's the pie chart that proves it. I'm kind of happy, really, with most of where we are. It feels about right to me. I've only been a trustee of one other church for about 5 years, so I'm not the most experienced in this sort of stuff, but it feels okay. The trustees are not worried with our either our financial or our legal situation. They seem to be quite comfortable, so I'm comfortable therefore. So, that's that. I want to move on now to how we live a financially wise life in a money-driven world, and the two are connected. I'm very conscious that there are many people who might not be part of a church and will have views of how the church spends, asks, that sort of stuff for money. And George Carlin, who's a very outspoken antagonist of religion, speaks for some when he says, in a rather mocking way, God loves you, and he needs your money. He always needs money. He's all-powerful, he's all-perfect, he's all-knowing and all-wise, but somehow he can't handle money. And I think that's it's a commonly held view amongst many people who aren't part of a church. And there's often that's, I have to say, probably quite well founded. It doesn't help, I don't think, where there are churches with a huge thermometer that says, give us money to pay for a new steeple. It just says, I'm after your money. Maybe they do need a new steeple. But I think fundamentally George Carlin is wrong. I think, in fact, when we read the Bible, what we find is that God doesn't want our funds. He wants to raise up generous people who are like him. That's what I think. So I want to draw your attention to Matthew 6, which is verses 19 and 20. It's coming up on the screen here. This is when Jesus is talking to a crowd on a hill, and he says to a whole bunch of people, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And I think this passage is, I think it draws out three questions, and here they are. The first is, who is to benefit from the treasure that Jesus tells us to lay up or to accumulate? Where do we accumulate treasure? And why would we want to accumulate treasure in any case? Okay? So let's go to each one of those. Who's to benefit? Who's to benefit from the treasure that Jesus tells us to accumulate? You see, on first reading of this passage, many people will assume that Jesus is simply telling us to be generous, give away all your money, be generous to other people in that respect. Don't accumulate for yourself. But give it away. Now, I think that there are Bible passages that do say that, but I don't think this is one of them. This passage in the Bible says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure